I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors, Producers Wealth. If you're interested to set up your infinite banking policy correctly and have access to a coach that will help you use your infinite banking strategy to grow your business and your investment portfolio, and having your capital work in more than one place simultaneously, and protect your capital from market downturns, taxes, predators, and creditors, you can watch a presentation of exactly how you can do this at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com.
The world is going through changes. Changes happening at a speed that we have never seen before. This is leading to disruption, chaos, panic, fear, hysteria, and a turbulent economy and marketplace. How do you protect your wealth in a turbulent world? How do you invest for cash flow and alternative assets to escape the rat race in times of uncertainty? How do you decentralize yourself, your family, your community, your business, and your investments to become sovereign and escape the matrix? If you are looking for strategies, tactics, and techniques to escape the rat race and matrix, you are in the right place. My name is MC Lobsher, and this is Cashflow Ninja.
This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Cashflow Ninja and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at CashflowNinja.com. CashflowNinja.com. And I have launched the mastermind, my inner circle, Cashflow Nirvana. And I have to say, I've been so incredibly blessed and impressed with the amazing people that have signed up. The caliber of business owners and investors that's inside that group is quite amazing. I'm just full of gratitude already of what's happening there and what we're building. If you are a business owner and investor and you are looking to protect and build wealth during turbulent times, that is a place where you can plug into an extremely powerful community of business owners and investors that's on the same journey. So you can join Cashflow Nirvana by signing up at cashflowninja.com/Nirvana. That's cashflowninja.com/Nirvana. I'm very excited about this episode today. I'm joined by Carl Schnitzer. Carl, great to see you.
Hey, MC. It's good to see you. I'm excited for our conversation.
So for folks that don't know who you are, what you do, and what you get up to, could you please give us a little bit about your background and journey?
Sure. So obviously, my name is Carl Schnitzer. I'm based out of Philadelphia and surrounding counties. Right now, what I'm currently doing is real estate. I sell real estate as a realtor, and then I work in the infinite banking world as well, designing policies. My background prior to real estate and insurance was in law enforcement. So I was a Philadelphia cop for several years here. That led into real estate investing, where I flipped some houses, bought some rental properties. That all led into real estate and insurance, which brings me to today.
Yeah. So Carl and I work together at Producers Wealth. And we just recently both added more infinite banking policies. And we were just having a conversation, you know, like we usually do, about why we added these policies for ourselves too. And I paused 1 second and said, this is actually like pretty good information to share with folks, because we live in that world. Obviously, we run a business that help people set up infinite banking structured dividend paying whole life insurance policies with mutual insurance companies, and we eat our own cooking. You know, I have 11 of these in my family. You have several of these in your family. I think you're up to three now. Yeah. Right? And we just recently added another one each. So the conversation that we had, I think, reflects a lot of answers to questions and, you know, things that people are thinking about when they're exploring infinite banking. So I'm really excited to have you on and talk about this, because you're someone that eats your own cooking. You practice what you preach, right? You've used your infinite banking system in your real estate and to grow your own business. So it's been an absolute blast to see you do that. And we've known each other now for a while. I think, what is it now, 5 years? So it's just been incredible to see, how just everything that you've done in the past 5 years since meeting you.
Yeah, it's funny. We probably met more than 5 years ago, and you had designed a policy for me. I put it off to the side. I didn't think much of it. And then it was like a year later, I'm sitting at a real estate conference in Philadelphia, and next up on stage is the cash flow ninja to talk about, collateralizing other assets to acquire more assets. And that's what sparked the whole thing for me again.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that was the origin story. And now you're just providing so much value to everyone in the Producers Wealth world that Producers Wealth serve. And also, you're a very valued member of Cashflow Nirvana. So honored that you're part of that too. So for folks that don't know about infinite banking, and this is the first time that they've heard about this concept, right? It could be a little confusing. So let's start there. So just explain infinite banking to a lot of our, because we've got a lot of new listeners and viewers, just what they need to know with regards to the strategy, what it is, and how this can help, especially business owners and investors.
Sure. So I like to separate the conversation kind of into two conversations. First is infinite banking, what is it? And then the product that you use to implement the process. So infinite banking is a process. It's the process of taking the banking process of our life down to, you and me level, where we can, like Nelson says, become our own banker. That process is leveraging what we use, whole life insurance, to make purchases in a more efficient manner, rather than using cash or going to, a financial institution or bank to get a loan. That's the process. The product that we use is whole life insurance. And, a lot of times I've found that it's kind of hard to fully understand and fully grasp on a podcast setting. So a lot of times, and you have all the content available, MC, that actually illustrates this. And once you can see the numbers and see the illustrations of it is when it really kind of makes sense.
I would just add to that too, and I love it how you separated those two, because everybody is so product focused, right? And if you look at successful business owners and investors, especially when it comes to cash flow management, which is a huge, that is cash flow, right? People just think of returns and as income as cash flow, but cash flow management is huge. It's a process. Mm-hmm. So the product just plugs into the process, and it has to be able to fit into what you're already doing. So that's why it needs to be tailored and designed specifically for you, the business owner, and for you, the investor, and everyone is different. So this is not a cookie cutter product. Number one, this isn't a one size fits all. And this, by the way, is the biggest difference of how life insurance is sold to the majority of the public. I would argue 99% of the public. It's a product and a commodity and very cookie cutter and one size fits all. And that's at the retail level, right? And you have your critics of people, take a ticket, stand in line for that way that it's sold, whether it's Dave Ramsey, Susie Orman, all these folks. And by the way, they have extremely valid points, and I agree with most of their points when it comes to the way that retail life insurance is sold to 99% of the public. But the one thing that they fail to just present is a question, right? Because the quality of the questions that we ask ourselves determines the quality of our thinking and impacts the quality of our life. So one of the questions that they fail to ask is, well, this might be terrible for 99% of the people, exactly how it's sold to them, because it's sold in a very commoditized, cookie cutter kind of manner. But why do, why do corporations get as much of this vehicle? Why do they buy as much as they can of this Why do banks and financial institutions buy as much as they can of this? Why do families and family offices buy as much as they can of this? And also wealthy individuals? Well, that's a great question, because that leads you to that, well, maybe there's a different world and there's a different way that this vehicle is designed for those entities and those families and those people, right?
I want to take a moment to share the most exciting project I've ever worked on, and a project that will be my primary focus in the weeks, months, and years ahead. I've launched the Cashflow Nirvana Mastermind. The Cashflow Nirvana Mastermind is the inner circle of the Cashflow Ninja ecosystem. In our exclusive mastermind, business owners and investors have access to all the strategies, tactics, tools, and community to build and protect wealth in turbulent times and crisis. Join a community of resilient business owners and investors that are building a parallel economy and the future during times of chaos. As a member of the Cashflow Nirvana Mastermind, you will receive a monthly newsletter and video newsletter with intel business owners and investors need to know, bonus reports, bi-weekly Zoom calls, and a bonus monthly happy hour Zoom call to network within the community. Access to a community social platform to interact with community members. The Cashflow Ninja Rolodex that includes all of our preferred vendors and partners. A parallel economy and members Rolodex. The goal there is for members to do business with each other. Deal flow of our community. Get access to the best deals available from our preferred operators and members as they become available. Educational content that includes how to create a strategy right now and how to create a business right now. You can join the Cashflow Nirvana Mastermind. Go to cashflowninja.com/Nirvana. That's cashflowninja.com/Nirvana.
Yeah. And just to paint a picture of the process, you know, an analogy that we use and you use and Nelson has used, when you think of banking as a process, picture the pool of money in the world as the globe. The globe is just one giant pool of water. You know, we have continents and we have land, but it's one giant pool of water. There's oceans, there's rivers, there's seas. It's all interconnected and the water is in constant motion. It's always flowing. The monetary system and what the central banks have done is created a giant pool of money. The money's in constant motion. It's always moving and flowing from different institutions and people and businesses, but it always flows back to their pool of money. They created the pool, it goes and it flows and it comes back to them. So one of the, you know, analogies we like to use is thinking of that pool of money like the globe and how the water has moved. And infinite banking as a process, what we are able to do is create our own pool of money and we can still use it just like, you know, anything else, but the money always flows back to our personal economy or our business economy.
And one way of setting up your pool is through collateralization, which a lot of the institutions that I just listed, whether it's banking, financial institutions, corporations, so forth, family offices, which is an entity. I mean, it's the wealth management of family's wealth. And very wealthy individuals, what they do is they go through this process of building up capital and then they position capital in an asset which could then be positioned to collateralize. Now, for folks, if this is the first time that you're hearing about this, what it simply means is that you can put an asset up and use that asset as a collateral to get access of to a loan. Right. So whether it's real estate, you know, when you buy real estate and there's equity in the property, you can tap into the equity of the property through a home equity line of credit, a HELOC or a cash out refi, and then you can buy another property. So you can buy another asset, extracting, you know, the liquidity from the other asset without selling the underlying asset. So you've collateralized one property, gotten a loan. And now you're buying another property. You could do the same thing with business. There's someone in our network, actually, that placed the assets of the business and the receivables as the business as collateral. So they got a loan from a a lending institution, and then they were able to use that loan to buy the building from which the business operates. So they took their business to buy another asset, which is real estate in this process, right?
We just saw Elon do this too with the Twitter deal. He put up one asset as collateral, his Tesla shares. He leveraged that to acquire another asset.
That's right. So
all his families do.
Asset-based lending, which is the stocks. And you can do the same thing with gold, silver, and art. You could do the same thing with crypto. Beware, you know, kids, don't try this one at home. A lot of people got their hands burnt there. The same thing with stocks, by the way. These are advanced strategies. You need to know and understand exactly what you're doing. You need to manage the collateral because it could be margin calls if the markets go down, just like what happened with crypto. And then life insurance falls into an asset class, which a lot of people don't know about. And by the way, I've done real estate, I've done business, I've done gold, silver, and even crypto as an asset that I collateralize to gain access to liquidity to go and buy more assets. But my favorite one is life insurance. For many, many reasons, right? Whether it's the stability of the asset. There's no collateral that needs to be managed. You have your principal in there that's guaranteed. The growth is guaranteed in there. You get access to dividends because it's from a mutual insurance company that's not guaranteed, but some of them have paid them since the 1840s, which is just crazy. It's all tax-free, and you get to access, 95% plus in most cases, you can access up to the value of the cash value, the equity in the policy through a policy loan, either directly from the insurance company or from a financial institution or from a banking institution. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely, if I look at all the options there, this is my favorite one. So this is kind of where it fits in, right? Any just quick comments on what I've just shared about collateralization?
No, you cover collateralization really well. The only thing I would just add is, if this is the first time someone's listening and hearing about using life insurance as an asset class, there is more to life insurance than death benefit. Everyone just thinks life insurance, death benefit, as if that's the only benefit to a life insurance contract. There's living benefits to it. Like you mentioned, having that cash value account that you can collateralize. And, what I like to tell people too, and, if there's investors or business owners, think of the last loan application that you applied for. Real estate investors see this all the time. There's a spot on that loan application that says life insurance cash value in the assets column, and they want to see how much you have there because it's a real asset that the big institutions and big investors and big players use when they're acquiring more assets. That's what they use to keep their liquidity.
Fun fact, that presentation that I did that you saw me at years ago, 5 years ago or something, in Philadelphia, afterwards there was an older gentleman that came up to me and he said to me, because I part of my presentation, I shared how to collateralize assets, right? Because you can have your money work in two places simultaneously and do many different things for you. And he said to me, he said, "I never realized you could do this with life insurance." He said, "I have over $1 million in cash value in the life insurance policies in our family. So you're telling me that I can collateralize that and utilize that to, for example, invest in real estate?" And I said, "Yeah." It was, so he found over $1 million just by understanding that there's a little bit more advanced strategies. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you were thinking about, because I shared, we just set up another policy each during this time, because this is probably the most frequently asked question I'm getting right now. Is it still a good time to do this? I'm young. I'm, in my 30s and 40s. I'm in my 60s. Is it a good time to do this? So what were some of the things that you were thinking about in setting up another policy?
Sure. And one more point I just want to add to that, the guy that came up to you is, not all life insurance policies are created the same. There's only certain products in the life insurance world that you would want to utilize in order to implement this strategy. So just kind of a, quick note on that is that not all policies are created the same. And that's where, working with an expert that understands this comes in.
That's a very, very good point, because there's a lot of, when I first started in this space, over a decade ago, there wasn't a lot of information out there. And people kind of looked at you like you were crazy if you told them about this, because it's a strategy. It was a strategy reserved for the ultra wealthy. And that's why I love Nelson Nash's book and all of his books and everything that Nelson did, because he took it to everyone. He took it to the public. But over a decade ago, everybody was very, very skeptical and kind of looked at you like you were kind of crazy when you're talking about this. Now, everybody is on board. The genie's out of the bottle, but you're seeing a lot of exotically marketed ways of explaining what this is, and very exotic kind of designs that people are posting online. So be very, very, very careful with this. It needs to be very specifically designed to do exactly what you want it to do. So great point. Thank you for pointing that out.
I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors. My friend Dave Zook says, you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. At The Real Asset Investor, Dave and his team bring their investors high-yield investment opportunities across several asset classes for cash flow, tax impact, and equity growth. He and his team are one of the top five ATM operators in the country, and they have an investment opportunity available to accredited investors right now in the ATM space. To learn more about their ATM funds that produce tax-free cash flow, visit therealassetinvestor.com.
So back to just why you were, you also set up another one for you and your family.
Sure. Yeah. So I have three policies now inside my family. The reason for the third one that I just started this the end of last year, as I produce and create more value to the marketplace, that brings more financial capital. And when you design these policies, there's a minimum and a maximum to them. Well, the first two that I had in place, my maximum was getting very comfortable to where, I had X amount of dollars that had to go in, and that was very comfortable to me. I still had a surplus of cash left over, that I was bringing in. So this solves the problem of where do I keep capital that I trust, that I have full control over, that I can leverage, that I can do whatever I want with it, that is safe, and grows and compounds. So, I got to a point at the end of last year where, like I said, I was doing very well. I had a good year, and I needed a place to put capital. I needed that other place, and I felt confident this year and moving forward that I was still going to, produce and create as much value and be rewarded for that, that I'd be able to make these premiums and have that safe place. I don't trust a bank. When you look at the other options that are out there, where do you keep capital? You can make a list and see, here's all the spots that I can keep capital. I can keep it in a bank. I can keep it in a qualified retirement plan. I can keep it under my mattress. I can keep it in whole life, or, some kind of taxable brokerage account or anything. There's only a limited amount of places you can actually store your money. And when I look at, all the things that I value and what I wanted out of, a capital management account, you could call it, whole life fit every box to where, I felt comfortable putting more money there and adding another policy on it. And not even I don't even look at it for the death benefit, but it comes with a death benefit as well.
Yeah. So here's a couple of reasons why I did set up another policy too, because I went through the exact same thinking exercise. Because this is what the problem that this solves for business owners and investors is, where do you keep your capital? The question that everybody should be asking themselves is, if you're a business owner or investor, where should you be positioning capital? And the answer is, well, in a place that I can access to grow my business and, as an investor, grow my investment portfolio. It's crazy to see that a lot of business owners and investors would hand over capital or position it in vehicles that they cannot access to grow their own businesses and their own investment portfolios. And what's even worse is then inside of those vehicles, the capital which they allocated in there is invested in someone else's business and in someone else's investment portfolios. It just doesn't make any sense. So as a business owner and investor myself, here's some of my thinking. Today, counterparty risk is one of the biggest risks out there. People don't, you know, yes, we understand political risk in a world that has completely collectively lost its mind, especially if you're looking at geopolitical events. Yeah, political risk is a very big risk. But, you know, and by the way, people can talk about risk in the economy, risk in the specific market that they're in. And you can go through all those levels and still be okay. And then you get to counterparty risk, exactly where your money is allocated. And here's an example. In 2008, a lot of people had accounts with Lehman Brothers that traded options and they shorted the markets. They had everything right. They assessed political risk, economic risk, market risk, everything. And they were right. They would have made a fortune, but they didn't take counterparty risk into consideration. So for me, that was huge. And if you look at how institutions and I mean, governments, institutions, people, how they will behave in the future, look at how they've behaved in the past. So what companies are being used to set up these policies with is very important. It's mutual life insurance carriers. Mutual life insurance carriers are not part of the Wall Street casino. They're not listed on the stock exchanges. There's a huge difference between a stock company and a mutual insurance company. So mutual insurance companies are managed on behalf of the shareholders, which are the policy owners, which stock companies are managed on behalf of the stock holders, right? Because they want to increase their stock price. That's how they generate value and serve their shareholders. So they get involved in risky ventures like AIG did in 2008. So you got to be very, very clear of, okay, counterparty risk. How has mutual insurance companies behaved? Well, since the mid-1800s, you know, some of them have paid dividends every single year, which is sort of profit sharing. So they've shown a profit. They've been profitable every single year. I mean, try to find 100 companies that has been on the stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange, for over 100 years and have been profitable every single year. It's going to be very, very hard to find. So if you look at how they've behaved in the past, how will they look in the future? And there's a lot of talk about, you know, a monetary reset, banking and financial changes, all of that stuff. Well, how have mutual insurance companies behaved during monetary resets and banking and financial system changes? There's been, most people don't, they only think that this is the first one, right? If how have they behaved in the past? Well, just look at the past 100 years, and some of these were around during the Civil War. You literally had two types of currencies in the United States at one stage, the greenbacks and the graybacks. Mm-hmm. You know, you had the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913. You had World War I. You had World War II, the Great Depression. You had the Bretton Woods Agreement in 1944, where the U.S. dollar became the world reserve currency. You had 1971, Richard Nixon took the world off the gold standard by closing that gold window. And then also, you know, you had sort of the establishment of the petrodollar in 1974, where the deals were cut with and brokered with Saudi Arabia, right? Where the U.S. would protect Saudi Arabia as a country. They would sell oil only in dollars, and the dollars that they gained from their oil transactions would be used to buy U.S. treasuries. So counterparty risk is huge. I'm going to pause there for a second and see if you have any comments on that.
Yeah, one thing just about the mutual companies. So one thing that I look at is comparing a mutual to a bank. I don't feel as though the bank is safe in the aspect that the loans and the liabilities that the banks have, they don't have the collateral or the capital to back it up. Banks can practice fractional reserve lending. Mutuals can't. The loans that the mutuals make, they have sufficient collateral, you know, behind those loans, where if a borrower defaults, they had the collateral there. You know, banks can't say the same. They don't have collateral for all their loans.
I want to recognize one of our sponsors, Penumbra Solutions. Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the billion-dollar blueprint followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements. That's cashflowninja.com/life settlements.
The rules were also changed. You can go to your favorite search browser. You are an unsecured lender to the bank when you deposit money into a bank. We saw that with bail-ins in Cyprus. And by the way, these legislation has been done globally. It's all over the world. It isn't just in Europe or in Cyprus. It's in the U.S. too. So when you put money in a bank, you're an unsecured lender of that money to the bank. Yeah, I mean, very nervous about, I wouldn't trust banks. I mean, they're literally, when people tell you stuff, you need to listen, you know, because they're telling you it. So just listen to them. The FDIC that insures deposits for up to $250,000 per account, they had a meeting online. This is available, by the way, online too. You could just look this up. They literally said in the meeting, one of their board members, that there will be bail-ins. There will be bail-ins. So from a counterparty risk, no brainer. I don't want to, that's not a place where I want to warehouse capital. Then a couple of other things that I'll just quickly fire off. Tax.
Real quick. If anyone doesn't know what a bail-in is, it's essentially the opposite of a bailout, whereas a bailout, the taxpayer is really the one that suffers a loss, whereas a bail-in, the depositors of the bank are the ones that suffered and the customers. The bank can seize the money and issue stock in exchange, and you know that stock can fluctuate whether it's the same value or not.
Yeah, you don't get to access your money, and you now have stock of the bank that's basically worthless. The other thing too, from capital positioning, here's what business owners and investors should be thinking about, and this is how I was thinking about too. The people that I'm talking to behind the scenes, and you know, I am. This is what I do on this show. I give you an insight of the conversations that people are having that you're not privy to in through mainstream media and all of the other areas that you're getting your information from. Deferring taxes right now is financial suicide. If you have a financial strategy that is based on deferring to paying taxes on something later, it'll be financial suicide. It doesn't matter where you end in the world, all of the governments are bankrupt, whether it's federal or national governments, whether it's state, provincial, whether it's local, they're all bankrupt, all of them. And governments cannot produce and create anything. The only thing that they can do is take. They can take production and creation, you know, or the result of that, which is capital. So they're going to tax you. Taxes, by the way, if you look historically of where the U.S. is at, historically, you know, we are very, very low. So taxes are going to go up. And this is a tax-free vehicle once the money's in there. You don't get it to deduct taxes when you put it in there. But once it's in there, now it's growing tax-free. You can access it tax-free through policy loans. And there's strategies where from a tax-free retirement standpoint, and that's a lot of people that come into our world, you know, they're 59 and a half, they're trying to move capital into these policies. You could do it in 5 years and set up a tax-free retirement through different strategies. The other thing too, you lose complete control, by the way, when you put it in a vehicle to defer taxes. Complete control, you're deferring taxes, financial suicide. Nobody should be doing this or have a strategy where you defer taxes. Because you, anybody listening to this, your goal should be to be in the highest possible tax bracket and absolutely make a lot more money in the future than what you're doing now. And then also, liquidity. Liquidity is... where can you get money? So just for me, the lesson that I took out of 2008, 2009, and I got my hands spanked just like everyone else, but I got less of a spanking than a lot of other folks. But one of the biggest mistakes that I made was I didn't have access to liquidity when I needed it, and the world was on sale. And I would never, ever put myself in a situation like that again. Because I think back and I just cringe, because assets went on sale. And when they go on sale, you need access to capital. So your capital needs to be in a vehicle where you can access it. So people were pulling HELOCs, by the way, in 2008 and 2009. I know, got the T-shirt, got the ticket, saw the movie. If you had it in a life insurance policy and you had a HELOC, which I would suggest you have options, both options, if the HELOC's pulled, you still have liquidity in your life insurance contract. So those are some of the thoughts that I went through and just thinking it. And that's why I was like, you know, coming to, if you look at where do I have control of my capital to keep growing my business, to keep growing my investment portfolio, to have access to liquidity when I need it, to mitigate taxes, to pay it now when I can control over it, as much as I owe legally instead of deferring it in the future, paying seed on the taxes on the seed, not the harvest, right? Those are some thoughts that I had. So, you know, any comments on what I just shared, Carl?
Yeah. So, I mean, just like we're this whole conversation is based around where do you keep capital? We know we don't trust the banks. So then you can look at, you know, accounts that are linked to the Wall Street casino, which, you know, you and I, we don't trust that either. And there's no control, like you mentioned. And, you know, the big one that a lot of people, a lot of wealth is kept in is just 401ks. And 401k is the worst business deal you can make. You know, a lot of people, they don't even understand what it is, which encourages ignorant investing. You know, you and I, we did a podcast on that as well. And with these 401ks or other qualified retirement plans, when the tax is deferred, you don't know how much of it is yours. So, you know, it's laughable when people tell me, oh, I have $1 million in my 401k. And I say, oh, well, how much of it is yours? Well, all of it. No, it's not. You don't know how much of it is yours. You know, it's the IRS hasn't taken their share yet, and you don't even know how much of their share they're going to take.
Yep. You just reminded me of something, you know, and I had a note here to share it. You know, Carl and I are having these conversations weekly on a new show that we also launched, The Producer's Bank. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. It's a much shorter format where we just share or talk about one idea with regards to a wealth strategy. So The Producer's Bank, just go to what you're listening on to this show now. It's also on video platforms, but The Producer's Bank is the podcast. It's about 10 to 15 minutes where we share one concept, idea, or something that, you know, we have been talking between the two of us that we think that people will find extremely valuable regarding the strategy. I'll also just share, you know, how you started it in the beginning. There's two buckets. There's a product, and then there is a strategy, a process. So this is one tool in your toolbox. You know, we live in a world of extremes. And this is how people think. It's like, this is the one thing and this is all you should do. No, this is not what we're saying too. This is one tool that fits into our tool belt along with all the many tools. This is the tool that increases the efficiency, by the way, of a lot of other tools, because it can help you your money do two different things simultaneously.
I think there's confusion sometimes too, where people that are exploring IBC, they think IBC is the investment. You know, it is the one and only, I'm going to put money here and then that's what's, you know, I'm going to live on one day, which you can pull retirement income, but the insurance policy is just your liquidity bucket. From there, you deploy it into your investments.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, there's so many other things too surrounding this, why we choose it, right? Whether it's asset protection in most states, whether it is privacy, whether it can help you with business and continuity. Business and family continuity strategies. There's so many ancillary strategies regarding this vehicle and how you can use it. I like to refer to it sometimes as the Swiss Army knife. financial vehicles. So we share this all at yourownbankingsystem.com, by the way. Yourownbankingsystem.com will take you to a presentation where we share all of these things. And then also, there are many other presentations that you'll get access to as well when you go to yourownbankingsystem.com of how to use this in your particular situation, whether it's just as a place to warehouse your capital as a business owner or an investor, whether it's a tax-free retirement strategy, whether it is a existing life insurance policy that you want to rescue, like a lot of these very poorly structured universal life policies that are out there. So there's so many different strategies that we share of exactly how this is used inside of our network by a lot of our clients. So I just wanted to share that too. It's at yourownbankingsystem.com. Carl, this is your first time on the Cashflow Ninja, and I always ask first time guest this question. You know, we talk about cash flow, we talk about business and investing, but it's about leaving a legacy and of course, passing on a legacy. If you cannot pass on money to any future generations and were only allowed to pass on three principles and values to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
Man, I should have known this was coming and I didn't prepare for it. So the first thing that I really, really would want to instill in my children is to always be curious and continue learning. You know, that's something that I credit a lot of, you know, the success that I've had thus far too, is that I always continued learning. I was always reading books, you know, even when I was a cop and, you know, cops were, we worked overnight. So when cops were not working, you know, I was reading books and when we weren't busy, I was always just curious and learning. That, you know, would be my one value that I'd want to pass on. Another one would be just to kind of, you know, look at things objectively and with an open mind, because when, like you said, there's not one size fits all. And there's so much talk out there of, hey, this is the only way you can build wealth is to, you know, pour money into a 401k or whatever that is. When if you just look objectively, there is other routes that can get you there, you know, a little bit more efficiently. So what's that too? Third one, keep networking. You know, like you and I always talk about, you have your intellectual capital and your relationship capital builds financial capital. Well, your relationship capital is your networking and the contacts and the people that you associate with, the people that you're learning from. There's such a huge value, even though it may not feel like a financial value at time, there's value into your relationships.
Awesome. Carl, where can folks follow you? Where can they learn more about you? And where can they keep informed of all the many things that you're involved with?
Sure. So, you know, I'm on the Producers Wealth website. You can contact me through there. I'll leave MC with a couple social media links of my pages. And then I also have a link of schedulewithcarl.com. That's Carl with a K, Schedule with Carl. That's just for, you know, an overall kind of strategy call, and has my bio and a few other things on there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and just providing so much value for all of my listeners and viewers.
Thanks, MC.
And thank you to you, the listener and the viewer, for spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the Cashflow Ninja. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. And you can sign up for our mastermind, My Inner Circle, Cashflow Nirvana, at cashflowninja.com/Nirvana. That's for business owners and investors that want to protect and build wealth during turbulent times. cashflowninja.com/Nirvana. Until next time, live infinitely.
This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.